be out there dancing the polka. That is crazy.
Buccaneers fans, fans of the undefeated Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. All the fun today is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry, drive Curry. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Not only do they have the Ira Kaufman discount, just ask for it to GM Sean Sullivan. Get $500 off your next vehicle purchase at Bill Curry Ford. There's a coupon on the website, BillCurryFord.com. And they've got 700 vehicles in inventory right now to look at and check out. They're fantastic pricing. And they've got a world-class facility. And they will come and pick you up and deliver you. Whatever that is, they'll do it, meaning for sales or for service. They've got loaner vehicles. They'll come out to your property. They'll do basic service at your property if you're set up for that. BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the family name. 65-plus years in Tampa. They're wonderful in the community, and they're great for Bucks fans and for anybody. BillCurryFord.com. Again, don't hesitate to ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. BillCurryFord.com. And on a Sunday like this coming up with the Bucks hosting the Broncos, you can even go shopping for a vehicle after the game. And our great friends at Florida's Elite Restoration are a true one-stop shop when you have a disaster at your property and you want to get the property restored and you want to get everything repaired. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Call them immediately. As soon as you have or spot an issue at your home, mold, storm damage, flood damage, whatever it is, reach out. Florida's Elite Restoration.com 24/7. They'll come out and give you an absolutely free evaluation with the top technology, and you go from there. If you need their services after the evaluation, that's when you decide if you're going to let them battle your insurance company for you to get the money that is yours to fix this and not get ripped off. If you want to invest in their quality service, Florida's Elite Restoration, check them out. They've got 5-star Google reviews. They're across the Tampa Bay area, over to Orlando and beyond to the other side of the state. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. Put them in your disaster plan. And again, get to their website. You can really see about all their services and know who to call and feel good about doing it. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Sage, how's that mountain air up in Georgia? You've been cruising America here on tour. What's going on?
Well, 66 degrees sounds good in any language. I don't know what's going on down in beautiful Hillsborough County, but it's crisp. It's clear. The Georgia mountains are a lot of fun. And a little savanna, and I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, they're big on Oktoberfest up here in the mountains. So we got in a couple of weeks before that, so the crowds aren't too bad. But in a couple of weeks, I've heard you can't even crawl through Main Street. So as of now, nice bed and breakfast, nice breakfast. I think I'm up about 4 pounds, isbits, you know, grits. I had a plate full of grits, never touched one, Stevie. I kept my record intact. When you're from Brooklyn, Lee, you don't eat grits, period.
Sure you do. You eat good food. If it's done right, grits are dynamite.
I draw the line at grits.
Oh, that's a bad line, Ira.
All right.
Good food.
Draw the line at grits. Okay. All right, Sage, look, Bucks 2-0. Obviously, we know that. Anybody who didn't listen to our rollicking last podcast, go back, find it. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, JoeBucksFan.com. Sage, it's sort of been an interesting week because I think the national media, at least from a chatting perspective, everybody just assumes the Bucks are going to easily go to 3-0 against Denver, who has a quarterback who's among the struggling rookies, hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 2 games, 4 interceptions on the condensed games. I watched the Denver games. He looks bad, Ira. They don't throw deep. So I guess I'll start with asking you, after further assessing week 2 and thinking about where the team is right now, you know, the state of the injuries, we probably won't have Luke Goedeke again because of the concussion. How do you feel directly about the state of the Bucks and how well they can play with the players they have available?
What strikes me this week, Lee, and it's a classic in our business, and it's getting worse and worse, just an overreaction. Either way, a team stumbles 1 week and they stink all of a sudden. And Lee, now the national media has woken up about this little team at One Buck Place that they've ignored. Since Brady left, basically, even though they keep winning division titles. And Lee, I think there's an overreaction. Not everybody, but some have the Bucks like number three in the power rankings. Now, Lee, let's take it easy. Let's take it easy.
Well, real quick, Ira, two of those people are Tom Brady and Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk.
I saw that, and those are two powerful voices. For my money, three's too high. It's way too high. You want to put them at eight? Fine. But, Lee, as we sit here, heading into week three, I believe the two biggest questions about the Bucks that we asked, Lee, during training camp, I don't think they've been answered. Running game and pass rush. I don't see it. Now, maybe somebody says, well, you don't go by sacks. You go by pressures. I like guys with their ass on the ground, Lee.
Thank you, Ira.
And, Lee, those are drive killers, as we just saw with Aiden Hutchinson. That's a drive killer. And you only get so many bites at the apple, Lee, you know, 10, 11, 12 drives. And, you know, you're letting a guy have 4.5, 5 sacks. That's a game wrecker. And, you know, you were probably there with Liam Cohn today. And, you know, look, I know he doesn't want to bury Schooley, and I don't blame him. I don't expect him to, and he shouldn't. But, you know, don't try to say that, you know, the guy wasn't at fault. We saw the game. We saw the game. My fault with Cohn more than Schooley, because Schooley's a backup, Lee. He's a backup for a reason. Lee, I thought it took Cohn too long to realize what the hell was going on around left end from a Detroit perspective. It wasn't like they were moving Hutchinson all over the field. Every time I looked at him, basically, he was coming off that left side for a reason. And, Lee, I thought it took Cohn too long to address the problem with chipping or whatever. And as you mentioned, the chipping wasn't particularly effective either.
Exactly. I totally agree with you, Ira. Not only did he wait too long to make an adjustment, the adjustment was not significant enough. You know, you could tell that he didn't want to go back check. He didn't want to go jumbo. He should have, because Hutchinson was going that nuts. It was getting to a point, Ira, and I don't think we touched upon this on your podcast Sunday night. It was getting to the point where of irresponsibility. What I mean by that is you could have gotten Mayfield hurt. If Mayfield gets hurt, forget the season. I thought he should have done more. I get why Cohn doesn't want to go jumbo, because you're basically taking away a target. He said the targets weren't able to get downfield that much to begin with, it sounded like. So I get why he doesn't, but the number one priority of an offense is make sure you don't get your quarterback maimed.
Well said, Lee, and I'll throw it to you, Steve, with this. I understand what he's saying about, you know, it hampers the air attack when you got to commit more resources, but Steve, facts are facts. And if you can't deal with Hutchinson, like Belichick used to tell me about Sapp when I was asking him before Sapp got in the Hall of Fame, you know, to talk up Sapp, and he said, if you don't take care of him, nothing else matters. Steve, that was his line. Nothing else matters. Great line. And Steve, the same thing held true. And the Buck offense wasn't very good Sunday. I mean, let's be honest. Mayfield made some plays with his legs. And by the way, Steve, he continues to amaze me in that respect. He does. I'm not calling him Lamar Jackson, but he's damn effective in that pocket. But Steve, if you don't take care of Hutchinson, none of the rest matters. So you got to make that your top priority.
Yeah, a couple of things about that, Ira. You started off by saying Liam Cohn sort of ran cover today at his news conference for Justin Schooley, as they call him at One Buck. And there were a couple of interesting elements to that. First, you know, there were 4.5 sacks, and Cohn said one of them was on him. Now, I've never heard an offensive coordinator say a sack was on him. I mean, somebody was out there tasked with blocking the guy, so that was kind of funny to me a little bit. But if you do look at the sacks, they were not all on school. Maybe the one he said was on him was when they straight up had Cade Otton as the only person set to block, basically lined up head-to-head against Hutchinson. There might have been a situation or two where the running back wasn't very good in pass blocking. But ultimately, you know, a right tackle and a help from a running back keeping him in, which they do all the time, that should be enough to give Baker Mayfield 2.7 seconds to release the football. They were just really bad at that, and Cohn didn't adjust. But I've never heard of an offensive coordinator taking credit for a sack before. Have you ever heard that?
I'm not sure I've ever heard that either. Lee, as far as I'm concerned, Lee, when they had Schooley matched up against Hutchinson and they didn't give him any help, he got his ass beat. He got whipped. And, Lee, I'm going to throw one more thing in. Without Mayfield's pocket presence, Lee, he might have been sacked 7 or 8 times.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Absolutely. That would have been a disaster. You're right.
And it is interesting, though, from a philosophical standpoint, hardcore Bucks fans will know that, you know, Bruce Arians used to bring in a max protect extra lineman often. And that was also a staple for a while during the Dirk Cutter years where you'd hear, eligible tackle coming in the jumbo package. It's not a thing that Cohen likes, but you can't say that it really messes up your offense completely. I understand third and long, it's not ideal, but, you know, there's room to grow there for Liam Cohen.
The Chiefs, their rookie left tackle?
Yeah.
He was responsible for 2 sacks. Andy Reid pulled him.
He did. He did.
That was 2. That wasn't 4.5.
He's a high draft pick, Lee. He's a high draft pick.
Sage, an interesting nugget today, 2 of them on the run game. You know, it was at the end of Liam Cohen's news conference, and he entered. He was kind of sweaty, looked real hot from practice. You know how sometimes these coaches, they land in the news conference, and you wonder why they didn't take 10 minutes to just maybe change their shirt and towel off, and they're almost agitated to begin with. Now, Cohen's a nice guy, but other coaches in past years haven't been the nicest guys, and they walk in all flushed from practice. But anyway, Cohen was clearly a little worn out from practice, but at the end of the news conference, he kind of got jacked up on his own. Nobody was trying to hype him up there. He got a little annoyed talking about the run game, and I'd never heard this before either. He blamed issues in the run game on noise at the Lions stadium. He said, we did a great job avoiding pre-snap penalties, false starts, stuff like that. But our communication at the line, he said there were 3 or 4 times that it was essentially so loud they couldn't communicate or didn't communicate properly. I'm assuming there are hand signals for all this stuff as well. But then he also went on to say that there were 2 runs late in the game when he was talking about you need to extend drives and close out a game, that they missed the runs. Now, nobody followed up and said, what do you mean? Is that meaning the running back didn't see it? But that was the implication from what I could hear. And if you go back and look at the film, which I immediately did, one of those Rashad White runs late, first down, when they needed to close it out, man, it almost looked like he had 3 options and took the wrong one.
Which direction was that run?
It was 1st and 10 to the right, and he could have bounced it outside, or he had like the inside main hole. He just didn't hit it. Like, he went between both and got 1 yard, and it just looks bad. Yeah, I want your take on the noise and if that was him calling out Rashad White.
Well, Lee, the first thing I'll say is, well, why are you running off schoolie with the game on the line? Well, why are you doing that? You know, he's got his hands full with that monster across the line from. Number 2, as far as the verbiage, Lee, that Cone's using at the this is going to be interesting as the year goes on. Lee, this guy's coming up with some great stuff.
Yeah.
It's all part of the same objective. Take the pressure off the players, which I like in theory. I like in theory. But if he's going to keep this up for, 15 more games, he's going to have to be very inventive. Sometimes you got to take a shot at a player. Wait, do it in your own way. Don't say the guy's garbage. Say we need a little better effort. You know, call out White. He hit the wrong hole. Lee, these are big guys. They're not going to fall apart with a little poke at you. So Cone's coming up with some stuff I've never heard before.
There's a commenter on Joe Bucks fan. That was a comedy on Steve's story about, Cone talking about, he didn't mention Rashad White, but, you know, Steve thinks, and so do I, that he was referring to Rashad White. And this commenter on Joe Buck's fan, he wrote something along the lines of, Rashad White is just a magnet for defensive bodies. He can't avoid him. He can't run him over. He just goes right to him.
I think this needs to be said. If the winning continues, and I, you know, we think it'll continue on Sunday at home against a team that can't score in Denver. Lee, as long as the winning continues and the feel good, and they're sitting high in the power rankings and high in the division rankings, maybe there's not a sense of urgency to address the run game and maybe make a change. And maybe make Irving the primary back. That doesn't mean I want to, dump Rashad White. He's valuable. I might even want to give Tucker a couple of cracks at it, Lee. I might.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? But, Lee, they lose a couple of games, and they get 63 yards on the ground and 22 carries, and Mayfield's the leading rusher again. At some point, you got to address what's going on, because to get to where they want to go, they got to get this offense figured out.
They do, and I'm going to say something positive here, believe it or not. The running attack will be much better come Thanksgiving. I really believe that, you know, given the fact you have two new offensive linemen, and I'm, by the way, I heard Michael Lombardi talking today. He wasn't talking about the Bucs, but he's talking about blocking an offensive line in general. He said when offensive linemen don't hit, which is what happens, you know, all offseason, they're not allowed to hit. When offensive linemen don't hit, that stunts their growth. So I firmly believe come Thanksgiving, this offensive line, at least the running game, will look a lot better.
Lee, if it looks a lot better, I dare say there might be a new primary back carrying the load.
I don't discount that, but, you know, whether White stays as a starter, gets his snaps lowered because of Irving or even Sean Tucker, I believe the running game will be better a couple months from now.
Well, I got to chime in on that, mostly because it's Mike Lombardi and I don't like him. So I got to at least put that out there. The Bucs' running game was better later in the year last year, so that makes sense. Uh-huh. However, if it's better across the league for everybody, then, you know, obviously certain teams have injuries and stuff, but if it's better across the league, then you really haven't gained very much. I mean, right now the Bucs through two games are like 27th in yards per carry, and if everybody gets a little better later, what have you really accomplished? So I don't know if I buy that. I don't think Bredesen is playing that well. It's early though, and of course, you know, it's still a new line and all that stuff. But, you know, we've got Super Bowl on the brain, Ira, and we want better.
Look, they're doing a lot of things well, Steve. You know, we nitpick here. When you're 2-0, we're trying to keep guys grounded. I still don't think the Bucs deserve to be number 3, Steve, in anybody's power rankings. I think that's too high.
Well, why not? Why not? Who's better in the NFC?
Washington's not very good, Steve, I'm not going to go crazy.
Who's better in the NFC? Than the Bucs.
The Niners have more talent, Steve. They got more talent. Healthy. They're all banged up. They're all banged up, San Francisco.
So are the Bucs.
The Bucs got injuries. So from a roster standpoint, Lee, I think Detroit's better. I do. I think San Francisco's better. I don't know. That might be it. I mean, I'm not sold on the Saints, Lee. I don't know if you're going off on the Saints. Atlanta, you know, that might have saved their season, Lee. That might have saved Atlanta.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. Sirianni gave that game away.
You know, and if they lose that game and then they lose to Kansas City, they're 0-3, and the Bucs probably being at 3. They'd be 3 games behind. 3.
Yep.
So to Steve's question, who's better in the NFC? Well, Steve, the first answer is the AFC is better than the NFC. That's a break for the Bucs.
It is. Yeah.
It is. But I just said San Francisco and Detroit. I'm not going to say Dallas, Lee, and I'm not going to say Philadelphia. I'm not.
You're missing out on 2 teams. I'm a little surprised. You're missing out on a couple teams. If you're willing to give the 49ers a break because of injuries, there's a glaring team out there.
Well, you're not thinking of Minnesota.
Not really, but I you got to give them their due. They're undefeated.
That guy's a good coach, Lee. The frozen tundra of Green Bay. Yeah. They got a big injury, and I don't know if Love's playing this week, but they look good. They got young receivers that are developing. They are developing. They're running the ball pretty well, and they're playing pretty good defense. Lee, that's a good call. Now, the Bucs went in there and waxed them last year. Lee,
yes, I was there.
So, Steve, I still think 3 is too high, but, you know, we're nitpicking. The Bucs are doing a lot of good things. Boy, Bowles and Nick Rapone and Kevin Ross collectively, Lee, they're doing a hell of a job with that young secondary. Hell of a job.
That's a great point. That's a great point you made. Because, you had Ezeon playing out of position. He's basically playing 2 different positions in 2 different games. You're absolutely right. And they developed McCollum. McCollum looked just really, really good against the Lions. Looked really good. I still think that defensive effort. I think Steve, he wants to put the season opener 2 years ago at Dallas in there. I won't. I think that was the most impressive defensive effort the Bucs have had since the Super Bowl. I asked Jamel Dean that this weekend. I said, Jamel, that's the best defensive game you guys have had since you shut down Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And he thought about it for a moment. He goes, you might be right. I'm not dismissing what they did in Dallas a couple years ago, but they didn't have the injuries they were dealing with this past week.
Yeah, but Dallas was also as high-flying offense, same level offense as the Lions. So to me, that's holding them to 3 points on the road. That was just a mind blower of a defensive performance. So, Ira, you know, yes, of course we're nitpicking because we obsess all day long about the Bucs, but we're excited as hell. I mean, what you mentioned earlier about the way Mayfield's playing, from the escapability to the obvious confidence, and just the fact that there's really been no apparent learning curve for him within the offense. I understand that he played five games with the Rams, but the lack of learning curve and the command in the passing game, it's special right now.
I think Mayfield's in a place he's never been before in terms of comfort. I don't think he's going to get complacent, Lee. I was a little bit worried about that with the contract, especially, you know, he's a guy that's driven by a chip on his shoulder. He's in a great place, Lee, and the Bucs put him there. He didn't know what the hell he was walking into when he signed, 18 months ago. And from day one, they made him feel welcome. They had a so-called competition in training camp. I've called it a sham competition. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I feel. I still feel that way. Mayfield was not going to lose that job. Well, anyway, here he is now, the unquestioned leader of this football team. To hear his teammates talk about him, he's matured off the field. He's brimming with confidence. What a great time for Mayfield right now, Lee.
You hear people talk about this, at least national TV. And I think it's apropos. Mayfield found a home. What's going on in Cleveland? You think Mayfield was the problem there? What's going on in Charlotte? You think Mayfield was the problem there? Didn't look like it. And so he finally found a place where he was wanted, finally found a place where he had weapons to throw to, a decent offensive line to block for him. He found a home.
Steve, he makes good decisions, Steve.
That pass, that third down pass to end the game, that damn near was a pick six. If that was a pick six, people to this day would still be screaming about that play. I don't know if that was a smart play or not.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of throws, Lee, where you say, oh, no, don't throw that pass. Not a lot of them. Some.
That third down pass, I almost had a stroke.
Boy, that touchdown to Godwin, that was a thing of beauty, Steve. Beauty.
Sage, the fun part for me is that Mayfield, before the season, when he got his contract, he said, hey, you know, you put me in a stable situation, you know, I'm going to kick ass, and you know, he's backed it up. But just to totally shift gears on you, Ira, this was the nugget of the week that really stunned me. I had to even get my calculator out and double-check stuff because I wasn't sure. The Buccaneers put it out. Right now, Chase McLaughlin, for his career, is 26 of 31 from 50-plus yards. That is the best long-range percentage in the history of the National Football League.
26 for 31, Stevie?
From 50-plus. I mean, that's his career numbers. That's the 83.9%. That's the best number in the history of the NFL.
That is crazy. That is crazy, Lee. It makes you wonder why teams have gotten rid of him, have let him go. He was fantastic for the Bucs last year. He did exactly what Bowles brought him in to, and that means kick 55-yarders. And he's doing it again. Lee, across the league, I think you've seen some of the numbers. Boy, these kickers are getting better and better, Lee, across the league. 55-yarder used to be eye-raising, Lee. Not anymore. You know, guys are trying for 60 now with a decent percentage. McLaughlin's special, and Steve's right. That number, 26 for 31, that's eye-opening.
I got to add, when I heard that, Ira, my thought was, is that, and maybe it sounds stupid, but is that a little scary? Because that's going to give Todd Bowles extra confidence to kick field goals, and sometimes you want a team to go for it. Now, Bowles won that war last week. We talked about in the last podcast, we didn't really like him going for the field goal, but it was the right move, especially early in the game when you make it. But I don't know, there's a little part of me that thinks, man, I'm glad he's hitting them, but it's a little scary if Todd Bowles starts getting confident in kicking 56-yard field goals.
I understand what you're saying, Steve, because a lot of people are doing analysis on when you cross midfield or you're even approaching midfield, Steve. The numbers show that 4th and 3, 4th and 4, you should go for it. That's what the numbers generally say. You're right. When you got a guy that consistently nails it for 56 yards, you tend to take the 3 points rather than turn the ball over on downs. But, you know, if you're making 50% of your 4th and 4s, you know, that makes it difficult. Still, Steve, in the grand scheme of things, I'd rather have a kicker like McLaughlin, even if it skewers your numbers in terms of 4th down. He's money in the bank, Steve. And most games come down to 3 points, 7 points. Give me McLaughlin all day long, Steve. Give me McLaughlin.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. So, Ira, look, Mayfield did a podcast which was recorded just before the start of the season. And this was with, of all people, Corey Kluber, the great former pitcher, has a podcast. And apparently, my guess was he and Mayfield might have met in Cleveland years ago. But anyway, regardless, he played for the Indians at the time. Regardless, Mayfield sits down and he dropped a couple of nuggets. And one of them was that when he signed with the Bucks, he said there was a high-strung, high-stress environment. He said players were pretty stressed out. And that he was kind of asked to be himself and, quote, bring the joy back to football a little bit for guys that weren't having as much fun. Well, what do you make of that?
Well, Steve, that 2022 season that the three of us lived through and our listeners and readers lived through, Lee, that was one strange season. That's a strange season. They win 8 games. Normally you go 8-9. That's a bad year. That's a bad year unless you're the Carolina Panthers. That's a bad year. Okay. But they win the division. They're not competitive in the postseason. Embarrassing at home. Never in the game. And the Brady, you know, the up and downs with Brady. I think Mayfield's onto something because, Lee, he's not going to say that unless he's heard it from a half a dozen players. You know, and they don't want to talk about, you know, how strange that season was. It was a bizarre year, Lee. Not as bizarre as, the year with Mercer, with Shiano. We're never going to compare that. We're never going to top that, Lee. Never. You know, the Freeman fiasco, the Mercer, and a lot of losing. But, Lee, 2022 was a year to forget, and I don't care if they won the division. That was not a good season for Buck fans.
Yeah, because, Arians had gone, the offense went to hell. It was not a good season. Even though they were in the playoffs, it was not a good season. It was everybody pretty much knew Brady was shot. I don't know if this is a connection or not. You know, you're looking for Kluber and what kind of connection he may have with Mayfield. He pitched for the Rays in 2022. You know, maybe he still lived in the area and he ran into Mayfield there, but you're probably right. He played for Cleveland for like 8 years, and that's when Mayfield was drafted. So that's probably where they crossed paths.
I got a little nugget for the two of you, and I find this unbelievable.
Whoa, Sage, I don't know where you might be going with this one, but first, BillCurryFord.com. That's where I want everyone to go shopping now or this weekend when you start your vehicle search. BillCurryFord.com. That's that family name, the Curry family, 65 plus years, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. You can find GM Sean Sullivan on the website. Ask him for the Ira Kaufman discount, BillCurryFord.com. And the same goes for Florida's Elite Restoration. Remember, when you first call them, mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan. If you end up needing their services after your free evaluation of your disaster in your home, you'll get $500 back from Florida's Elite Restoration, cash for your deductible or just money to use for restoration and or repair, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Ira, go ahead.
Gentlemen, I think you could make a case through 2 weeks. I mean, really early, 2 weeks. But I think you could make a case that the most consequential player the most consequential figure in the National Football League right now, guys, is a guy who never touched a football, and his name is Clint Kubiak. He's sitting on high cotton down in the Crescent City. That offense is going crazy. Derek Carr, who I left for dead after last year. Dennis Allen, who I've never liked, Lee. Now, look, we'll see what happens this week. This guy Kubiak can write his own ticket. He might as well stop right now and ask somebody to be a head coach.
The Saints host the Eagles.
Steve, this guy Clint Kubiak's come out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, I don't know why you're turning the tide to the Saints, but I hear you, Ira. I understand. What they've done offensively is incredible. Maurice Jones-Drew ranks running backs through the season, 1 through 15. He's got Kamara at number one. I watched the Saints game this past one. I mean, he looks, like I said on the last podcast, he looks like he's in his prime, which is extraordinary. And if you really listen to Derek Carr, different interviews he's done, he's been saying he's in the best shape of his career, finally healthy, all that kind of stuff. And for a lot of guys, it is about health, and maybe that's the difference for him offensively. But Kubiak, the only good news about this is that maybe he's going to end up being higher on the list for offensive coordinator hires to head coach than Liam Cohen might be at the end of the day.
Interesting. Steve, the only reason I bring it up, and I got to give you credit, because you're consistent. And every time I trash the Saints, which I do often, and say they're a non-factor, They're mediocre. They're in purgatory. They're 8-9. They're 9-8. They're not going anywhere. You always say, Ira, they're better than you think. Through 2 weeks, they're a lot better than I ever thought. They look downright dangerous, Steve. I think they're old, but, you know, guys like Kamara, they look like they got juice left.
Yeah, look, like any other team, they got young players, and your draft class has to come through, and quarterbacks aren't old anymore at 35, so if Carr's still got his Pro Bowl form, they're going to be dangerous. Yeah, hopefully, yeah, hopefully they go in the tank, Ira. We know what we're hoping for, and maybe we'll get to see it. All right, Sage, let me ask you this. Denver has been carrying the load on defense to stay close in these games. So you've got Patrick Surtain, who a lot of people think is the best corner in football. He's a matchup guy. He's going to be on Mike Evans. How do you think the Bucs handle this? Do they just go approach this, Lee? What do you think? You think they just try to stay away from Evans and, you know what, not push it? And if, you know, if they take a couple deep shots, take a couple deep shots, let's beat him with our other guys? Or do you think they, you know, do some of that ego stuff, which is, hey, Evans, Mike's got one-on-one. Let's see if he can beat him and what can happen here.
Well, the Bucs have all kinds of weapons they can use besides Mike Evans. And the teams that the Broncos played before, they lost to both of them. Neither team had a Mike Evans. And I dare say neither team had a Chris Godwin either. I'm not worried about the pass game. Now, when your entire defense is Patrick Surtain, calm down. I mean, he's a good player. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. He could very well shut down Evans. But there's 11 guys on the Bucs roster that are on the field for the Bucs. And other weapons. They could throw to Rashad White. They could throw to Tate Otten, who has been invisible thus far this season. And, of course, Godwin is just dynamite this year. I'm not worried. I'm not worried about the pass. We'll get to the other part I'm worried about in a little bit. Passing game, I'm not worried about.
I don't think that they're willing to go two games without giving Evans his food, his air to breathe. And more importantly, footballs. Look, he was double teamed a lot by the Lions. So the Broncos won't double him. They'll trust Surtain, who's very good. But remember what the command is at One Buck Place, Lee. If Mike Evans is covered, I'm still throwing him the ball. We still think he's going to come down with it.
As a Baker Mayfield said, you single cover him, I'm going to throw it to him.
If he gets single coverage, which I think he will, I think Evans will he'll get his share, which he didn't get last week. He really was an afterthought, especially in the first half. It was the Godwin show. I don't think we're going to see that on Sunday. Doesn't mean Evans is going to catch two touchdowns again like he did week one. But he's going to get his share. And don't forget, Steve, they always have that 1,000-yard mark in the back of their minds for Evans. They never forget about that. Evans doesn't forget about it either. Not that he's going to carp about it. But I think he's going to get his fair share of footballs on Sunday. And we'll see how Surtain matches up against Mike Evans, who looks like he's still in his prime.
Lee, Ira, how much do you think the Bucs try to force the running game on Sunday, considering they won't have to deal with noise, because you know how that ruins a running game, and the fact that they want to establish it, they may make some changes here, and you know they obviously want to control the clock and give their defense a break after playing 85 snaps last week.
100% they're going to force the run. 100%.
I don't think they're scared of Denver's offense one bit, Lee. Not one bit. I think you might be right about that. They might run it 35 times on Sunday. I'll set an early benchmark, Steve. If they run it 35 times, can I get 130 yards? And I don't want Mayfield getting 56 of them. Take it easy, Mayfield. Take it easy. I'm a little concerned. Like Lee said, 20 minutes ago. He goes down, this season goes poof. We don't want that. Yeah, they're going to try to run the ball, especially coming off a bad performance in that regard at Ford Field.
So you think they force it? Like Lee says, I think they force it a little bit too. Ira, what do you think?
I do too, Steve. They're gonna try to get these guys going. Lee Tucker might get a couple of carries. He might.
That's true. They might give him a series. That would be interesting, certainly, to see. It might give a little tip that their mind is on a shakeup if Tucker gets his first action of the season, even if it's just four carries. So that's a neat little nugget there, Sage. Ira, what else are you looking for in this game? And give us your pick.
I don't think Denver can score more than 14 points. I know. We saw the Commanders in week one. We said they don't have much of an offense other than Jaden Daniels. Well, guess what, Lee? Jaden Daniels looks a lot better than Bo Nix. A lot better. Jaden Daniels is completing like 75% of his passes. Lee, now, they're not scoring. They're not scoring a ton of points, but they won last week against a bad team, but they won Washington. Denver looks like one of the worst teams in football. It's a credible defense, not incredible. It's credible. So, you know, I don't think the Bucs are going to hang 37 like they did on Washington. Denver's defense is better than Washington's, but they can't score, Lee. And like Steve said, Bo Nix, who I thought was going to get off to a good start with Sean Payton's tutelage, it hasn't happened. I think Payton's got to be frustrated with Nix. It's early, but it doesn't look like Nix belongs at the pro level at the moment, Lee.
Sooner or later, Bo Nix is going to start clicking for him. I hope that's not this Sunday. I'll give you my pick in a roundabout way. I talked to Joe Tryon Shoyinka today, and he just kept talking about how Nix is mobile. He can hurt you on the run. Well, we saw Jaden Daniels hurt the Bucks on the run. Yeah, they adjusted in the second half. He still hurt them. A nugget I heard driving into One Buck Palace today from Steve's friend, Michael Lombardi. So far this year, teams that are getting more than 6 points have all covered. Every team that's gotten more than 6 points all covered. If Steve finds that to be wrong, blame Lombardi. I'm quoting Lombardi. Currently, the Broncos are getting 6.5. I'm taking the Broncos. I'm taking the points, but the Bucs win a close one. You could tell the moment that game was over with, Todd Bowles was trying to clamp down on the excitement. He knew they won a huge game, and he's been trying to clamp that down ever since. And he knows that he doesn't want that to get there ahead. So that's another reason I think it screams trap.
All solid points, Lee. And by the way, that stat about the 6.5 points, that includes the Bucs last week. I think they were 6.5 dogs.
They were.
Yeah, it was seven and a half by the time the game went off. Lee,
wow,
you want,
7.5. Wow.
Lee, do you
wow,
want to put a number on it?
24-21 Bucks.
You know, Lee makes a lot of good points, Steve, about complacency. We've seen it before here. We've seen it before. And as much as Todd Bowles is trying to fight it, it's a real thing. That was a huge win, emotional, revenge game. And they're feeling very good about themselves. The Broncos are on the road. They're not very good. I can't pick the Broncos to win. Lee didn't pick the Broncos to win. I can't. They don't have any receivers, Steve. Josh Reynolds, Cortland Sutton. I mean, are you kidding me, Steve? Are you kidding me? 2024 NFL, those are your top guys. Josh Reynolds. You know, he was like the number 3 or 4 guy in Detroit, you know, a couple of years ago. Cortland Sutton hasn't never done much, and Knicks can't get him the ball. So, Steve, I think it's going to be fairly low scoring. I'm going to go 20-10. Bucks methodical victory, not overly impressive, 20-10.
I very much liken this game to last year against the Titans. Rookie quarterback, early in his starting, almost think the Titans were a similar team to this year's Denver team in some ways. So the Bucks absolutely manhandled them at home, 20-6. I think we're looking at that kind of game. Another thing I'm looking at is Todd Bowles said something this offseason. I think it was a question I had asked him at the owners' meetings. I don't really remember. But he did say that when he studies film in the offseason, he focuses on defensive planning for the first 3 games. And that means he's put a lot of extra homework on Bo Nix and the Broncos. And I think that does not bode well for a rookie quarterback who already is sort of can't adapt yet. Doesn't mean he won't play well. But Ed McCaffrey, who's played for the Broncos, keeps close tabs in the NFL, works for Sirius as an analyst. He was saying that Nix hasn't caught up to the speed of the game yet. And so I think Todd Bowles has got enough speed to make that even worse. So I'm going 21-9 Bucks. Last thoughts on those? Anything you like, don't like? Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm still a little pissed that we all picked the Lions last week. I guess we went with the chalk. It would have been nice if one of us picked an upset special and had the Bucks winning that game. But c'est la vie. It looks like they're going to be 3-0. It's not a guarantee. And Lee, when I looked it up, I couldn't believe it. Last time, 2005. I mean, that's almost 2 decades. Chucky was coaching. Chris Sims was behind center. Long time ago. You know, that team ended up winning 11 games, right, Steve? And making the playoffs. So, Lee, you know the stats. You start 3-0, you got a pretty damn good chance of being in the postseason.
Oh, very much so.
Lee brought up a really important point, Ira, earlier about Bowles really pulling the plug on excitement and trying to guys to, saying things like, act like you've been there and you're totally 2-0 and all this stuff. We know what happened last year when they were 3-1. They had the bye week in week 5. Bowles is doing interviews all over the place. Mayfield's out there. I think he was at College Football Game Day, and they're living it up at 3-1. And it seemed like they didn't handle that very well from a mentality standpoint. Obviously, they had more rookies last year, but I think Bowles is really hyper focused on them staying hyper focused and remembering what happened last year when they went from 3-1 to 4-7. For me, that helps the Bucs as far as betting and as far as picking a score in this game, because I think they're going to be, I think that'll work for Bowles right now.
I think that's a great point, Steve. Lee, you're a military historian. I'm not sure who said this, but I figure you do know. Lee, those who don't learn from the past are they're going to repeat it.
Doomed to repeat it. It was some English philosopher in the late 19th century.
You sure it wasn't Raheem Morris, Lee? I can't remember.
Race but, the 10.
Race the 10. Steve, that's a great point. You're right. Bowles is all over this complacency thing. We'll see how it works out Sunday, but the next time the three of us get together for a podcast, I expect we'll be talking about the 3-0 Buccaneers.
Yeah, which would be incredible, Ira. And in that 2005 season, they actually went 4-0, and then they went 5-1, and the bottom fell out a little bit. But they did finish strong, and we all remember that ridiculous playoff game against Washington with the crazy call and all that. Sage, tell me one thing before I let you go. You doing any yodeling at this in this German town that you're visiting?
Well, Steve, I got the perfect way to end this podcast, and perhaps to end it forever. Steve, in a couple hours, I will be putting on my beret. If I had my guitar, I'd grab that. But I'm putting my beret on, Steve. We're going downtown to Main Street, and we're going to a festival hall. People are going to be dancing the polka. And, Steve, we will be out there dancing the polka. And I know what you're thinking, Steve. Ira, can you get somebody to take a picture? Can you? I will try, Steve. And I figure you're going to post that on top of my columns from now on.
Ira, do you actually have a beret, or is it that newsboy's hat?
Well, it's the newsboy. I like to call it a beret because I don't like you calling it a newsboy's hat.
That's like saying a baseball cap is a football beret in a German restaurant. Oof, you're brave.
Steve, if I get a picture and some guy's got an accordion in the background and I'm out there, that picture might be worth a lot on the open market, Steve.
Now, let's put it this way. I've got $50 for you if you just simply tell somebody, don't take a picture. Just shoot the 20 seconds of video of me and send it to me. That's where the money is, Ira, in the video of you dancing a polka in a beret.
Just don't eat vegan bratwurst, Ira.
Sage, star of the game on Sunday. Give me your star of the game.
Star of the game on Sunday is going to be Lavonte David. A pick, a rare pick, 3 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Lavonte David.
Lee?
Kate Otten.
Whoa!
He's done nothing so far, and I think they want to get him mixed in the mix. I think Evans is going to be covered well by Surtain, so I think this is a Kate Otten kind of game.
Sticking with the quarterback, Ira, but a close call. I think Diaby's going to break out finally and get a couple. Ira, stay safe, and we'll see you next week.